How wonderful the sun felt on her back. If a storm didn't come roaring in and surprise them all, they'd be able to strip off their woolen undergarments and bask in the freedom of lighter clothing. I think I won't go. You're crazy. Your Moor will never forgive you. The shock on Gunnlaug's face made Ingeborg laugh again. Besides, you know how you love the music and dancing. I know. Whirling around a dance floor did indeed make her feel light as a butterfly. At 5'7", Ingeborg was plenty tall, and not willowy like one of their other cousins. Sturdy and wholesome were two words she frequently heard. But she never lacked for dance partners, since dancing with her made her partners look good, too. She sat back on her heels and studied their baskets. Did they have enough? Did your Moor want some of these? No, she sent Hama out to our patch. She thought I was going to help, but I told her Tante Hilda had asked for me. Well, she did, sort of. She said you two girls, and she was looking at us. Right. The two exchanged a look that would do a conspirator proud. When Hilda called again, Ingeborg reluctantly rose to her feet, glancing around at the green carpet with bright yellow sun sprinkled throughout. We pretty well cleaned this patch out, so let's take our bounty up to the house. Swinging their baskets, the two strolled across the rapidly greening pasture. Several lambs were nursing, while others gambolled beside the ewes or chased each other. The ewes kept grazing, pretty much ignoring their offspring until one got too near the fence. Then the mother sent out a warning bleat. The lamb scampered back, making the girls look at each other and laugh. Spring lambs could always make them laugh. Their antics were such a delight. Ingeborg clasped her basket handle with both hands and swung it in a circle. I love spring.
Me too.
Spring, the time of love.
You're in love with being in love.
Gunnlaug stopped, her face suddenly turning serious.
You really think so?
She shook her head.
I know you don't like Ivar much, but...
Do not fret, my dear cousin. I just don't think he's good enough for you.
Surely there's someone more grown up.
Ivar is such a mama's boy.
Hjalmar, her brother, came running across the pasture. Ingeborg! Moor said to come quick. The gourd baby is on the way, and she's afraid there will be trouble.
Ingeborg and Gunnlaug broke into a run.
Has Moor left yet?
She is waiting for you. Give me your baskets.
They handed them off and ran on. Ingeborg knew that unmarried young women usually weren't allowed at a birthing, so if Moor told her to hurry, there would surely be trouble.
Hilda Strawn had a special sense for that, which was one of the reasons she was in such demand as a midwife. The girls were both out of breath by the time they reached the house, where Hilda met them at the door.
Gunnlaug, you go home and ask your Moor to pray for this baby. She can pass on the word.
As she spoke, she was shaking her head.
Ja, Tante. Gunnlaug set off for home, heading north while Ingeborg and her mother turned south at the road.
Why did we not take the buggy? Ingeborg asked, as they walked so fast they were nearly trotting.
Because we can cut across the south field and get there more quickly. We might have to turn this baby, and that will take both of us. Her mister is worthless in the birthing room, as are most men.
Ingeborg nodded. She had already learned that. The busier the husband kept, outside preferably, the better for all concerned.
What about the children?
The Gourds already had three youngsters, with the eldest a girl of six. Her mother had delivered all of them, because their mother was slim-hipped with a definite lack of elasticity.
Has she already been in labor for a while?
Yeah. She should have sent for me before, but Greta ran over, calling my name, and when I answered her, she turned back to help with the younger ones. She acts so much older than six. But that's often the case when the mother does poorly.
It takes Trude a long time to come back to health.